Ramsey TV.
Martin Zander here. I'm in the book of Philippians. Paul's writing this from a Roman prison. Doesn't seem to be slowing him down too much. Doesn't seem to be too discouraged. You know, I think Paul had a prince. Yes. He says in this book, we're going to see this, that there were some in Caesar's household who became believers. See, Paul was a nice guy. Paul wasn't stupid. No, he wasn't stupid. Not at all. Paul was a very smart guy. And he's going to make friends when he can. He's not going to be purposely antagonistic. Oh, no. No, no. He's a smart guy. And he's going to, you know, befriend his captors, so to speak. So I think they were very entertained by Paul. I think Paul kept them laughing. He probably knew some card tricks. And he probably regaled them with some of his adventures. And I think they watched out for him, you know, until the day where they had to chop his head off. They just had to do it. The guy probably came in and said, Paul, this is the day. You've been great, but, you know, I have to chop your head off. Paul said, it's your job. Don't feel bad. I'm ready to quit this life anyway. I've run the race. Not a bad way to go. Is that thing sharp? Oh, yeah, I made sure it's sharp, Paul. Don't worry, I'm not going to miss. I'm just going to get it over with. Don't worry, you're going to be fine. Paul said, I'll see you on the other side, bro. It might have been a bro. Can you imagine a believer chopping Paul's head off? Because Paul encouraged believers to be subject to the superior authority. So if you worked for Caesar and Caesar said, oh, we're executing Paul today, and you had to do it, you'd go into Paul and say, you remember what you said in Romans about being subject to the superior authorities? Paul would say, y'all. Well, the superior authority just told me that I had to cut your head off today. Paul said, be subject to the superior authorities. Paul was not in love with this life. I mean, he liked it with the aspect of working for the evangel and being of good use while he was here. But other than that, forget about it. Okay, we left off yesterday with this mutual disposition Paul had with the ecclesia. And I have the same thing with you. You have the same thing with me. It's a beautiful thing. It's a God thing. Joint participants with me in grace. For God is my witness, Paul. We're continuing now in verse 7. How I am longing for you all in the compassions of Christ Jesus. He's longing for them, not only for the opportunity to perhaps see them in the flesh. That's why I do conferences, to see you. I could teach from here, and I do every day, but I go to conferences to see you. I'm longing for you in all the compassions of Christ Jesus. He longs for them to see them in the flesh, but also, as many of you say to me, and I say to you, if I don't see you here on earth, I'll see you in the air. I'll meet you in the air. And that's a fact, and that's a truth. And that is a compassion of Christ Jesus, for sure. And this I'm praying, that your love may be superabounding still more and more in realization. Whoa! How does love fit in with realization? I'm a simple guy. I see it this way. We love to realize things. I mean, no, I think it's that simple. Let's read it again. I'm praying that your love may be superabounding still and more in realization. Of what? Of the evangel, of the truth. Christians always think of love as something that you must do, something that always goes outward. I'm not saying it doesn't, but I'm saying it's exclusively that. They see it as a performance thing. We love the word. We love coming to a realization of the truth. This is why good old Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. You see, Martha was loving Christ, probably, while she was fixing dinner and running around, being all busy and everything. But the real task that Jesus said was the better part was Mary. She loved sitting at his feet because she came to realizations of who he was, of the truth, of the origins of the world, of the progress of the evangel, the future of Israel. I mean, everything. It's like, yeah, give me more, give me more, give me more. Why? Because I love it. There you go. Nobody thinks that these days. Nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks that realization See, some people read the scriptures all the time, but they never come to a realization of the truth. Forever learning, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but not at any time able to come to a realization of the truth. But that's not all. That your love may be superabounding still more and more in realization and all sensibility. Sensibility, the root word there is sensible. It's also a matter of being, I think, sensitive to other people's needs. For you to be testing what things are of consequence. You know, I'm going to go back and correct myself on that sensibility. It's not being sensitive at all here. That's me thinking emotionally, maybe thinking a little bit soulishly, but it's sensibility concerning the truth. It's being able to judge between truth and lies. You might call it being sensitized to know the truth when you hear it and to be able to reject lies. Realization and sensibility for you to be testing because of what follows. That's why I corrected my thoughts on this. For you to be testing what things are of consequence, that you may be sincere and no stumbling block for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that is through Jesus Christ for the glory and laud of God. I'm not going to get past this statement. It's absolutely amazing here. Testing what things are of consequence. I know that many of you today, and I am as well, I have been of late, but are into studying, into following what's going on with the world. I mean, I feel like it's part of my job to really understand a little bit of what's going on in the world. But what is happening in politics, it's of consequence in a way to the world, and it's of consequence in the way it fits into the end time scenario, that is the scenario in the final years here of Millennium 6. But it's not of consequence in our aeonian life. It's just leading up to the unveiling of Jesus Christ to the world, to the earth. Jesus Christ has already been unveiled to us. The unveiling of Jesus Christ doesn't involve us because he's already been unveiled in our hearts. He's already been unveiled in the gospel of grace. We understand his nature. We understand his heart better than anybody does because of the revelations of the Apostle Paul. That's of consequence. I'm really thinking of dropping out of politics completely. I really am. It's so frustrating. It's so stupid. The mismanagement of this earth and its resources is hideous. Hideous. Because of selfish people who desire to run the lives of other people. I'm telling you, it's not of great consequence. It really isn't. In fact, not even making fancy sandwiches is of great consequence. Jesus said that to Martha. Jesus was not going to criticize Martha until she started to recruit her sister and says, "Lord, tell my sister to help me." Oh boy, I bet she wished she hadn't said that. But we're glad she did because this event is recorded in Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, "If you want to know the truth, Martha, you are worried about many things, many, many things. But if really only one thing is needed, only one thing is of consequence. And Mary has chosen it." What? Sitting down? Yeah, at the Lord's feet and coming to realizations of the truth. So test things that are of consequence. Things that you need, things you need to do, things you have to do for your well-being, for your happiness, for your survival. These things are of consequence. Your coffee in the morning is of consequence. Not even kidding about that. Your friends are of consequence. Much more so than the news of the day. People never lived this way before. Their concerns were local. Their concerns were of their own household. And you may have to decide that all your contacts on your phone are really not of consequence. Maybe it's taking away from your life. test everything now. Test everything these days. We got to be lean and mean for the final lap here, like I was telling you yesterday. Lean and mean. Running the final lap of the biggest race in the history of the world. Pare down. Get it down to the basics. I met a girl at the conference in Richmond named Sarah, and she pared down. She got rid of her place she was living before. She got her everything she owned. She got it pared down to the barest minimum, and she bought a van, and she had it done up so that she could travel in it, and she's traveling around the United States living in a van. It's outfitted really great. We got to see it in Richmond, Virginia. She spent a lot of money getting it outfitted, but that's of consequence. It has simplified her life, given her some rest, I think, in her mind and some peace, and now she's visiting people. She was able to go to the conference. That's fantastic. Test the things. Test the things you need and decide what you don't need. That you may be sincere. You got to be sincere in what you need. Don't be ashamed. If you need something that seems stupid to somebody else, don't be ashamed of it. You know, if you need to join a Tiddlywinks league, you just need it. Then that's of consequence to you. Own up to it. Be sincere. And no stumbling block for the day of Christ. You know, you can become a stumbling block to yourself in your own mind. But you don't need to be that. Nothing in your life needs to be a stumbling block to you. If you learn to gauge it, to understand, again, the things that are of consequence. Some things that aren't consequential that you could possibly get stuck in, that could be a stumbling block to you in your spiritual life. I mean, some people, you know, really need to fix their diet. I know they eat and they eat and they eat and they eat junk food. I get it. I love junk food more than any other food, but it can become a stumbling block in that you become weak, you become tired, you become lethargic. It's just, but no matter what though, we're going to be here for the day of Christ, whether we're watching or drowsing, Christ is coming to snatch us away and be filled with the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of righteousness. Oh, first, before that, the fruit of righteousness, which is through Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Christ has been granted to us. We apprehend this by faith, and it has fruit. And you would think that the fruit here Paul's talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. And you know what? I think it is, actually. I think it is. But I think many people would think that the fruit is works. That fruit is what things you do every day. I'm not saying those aren't important. But the fruit of being declared righteous by God, the fruit of that has to do with your disposition, has to do with your mood, has to do with how you feel about yourself. To end the show, I'm going to apply the 9 fruits of the Spirit to yourself. Love. Love yourself. Joy. Be joyful about how you're walking in Christ. Peace. Give yourself a break. Be at peace with yourself. Patience. Oh, there's a big one. Be patient with yourself. You're not perfect. Oh, wow, really? Oh, I can't believe it. No, of course I can believe it. Kindness. Be kind to yourself. Goodness. Be good to yourself. Meekness. Yeah. Be meek with yourself. How do you do that? Meekness. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't figured that one out yet. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, self-control. None of us want to be off the reservation. None of us want to go crazy, or as I like to say sometimes, ape shit. And the way you prevent that is to allow yourself things. Give yourself latitude. Only by giving yourself latitude will you not obsess over things, in which case you might begin losing control. If you allow yourself everything on your diet, except you can't eat like Hershey bars, then all you'll think about is Hershey bars. And you will lose control. Watch the movie Chocolat with Johnny Depp. Yes, Johnny Depp, who recently won a judgment against Amber Heard. Yay. I'm happy for that. Watch the movie Chocolat. It will show you how religious prohibitions will make you lose your control. Ironically, by allowing yourself things as you walk in the spirit, it will protect you against this maniacal loss of control where you go crazy, or as I sometimes say, should I end the show with this word? Apeshit.